Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A story on National Public Radio caught our attention the other day, and actually this subject matter may catch your attention as you pass these payday loan places because there are so many of them. The story talked about interest rates, and it was focusing on New Mexico, where New Mexico's high poverty rate has created a climate for a practice that many people have questions about. The government does not regulate in New Mexico loans made against paychecks. Paycheck loans are marketed as short-term cash advances on the borrower's next paycheck, and the industry depends on repeated business. In fact, 90% of every dollar that payday lenders make comes from Americans who are caught in the debt trap, and the average payday borrower pays back $793 for a $325 loan. There are some states that don't allow payday lending: Connecticut, Georgia, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and West Virginia. They are, of course, I don't know if you'd say prevalent, but there are a number of them in the state of Wisconsin, and there are tons of them in states like New Mexico. So what is it about this industry? Why can you charge virtually whatever kind of interest rate you want and pay back hundreds and hundreds of dollars more than what you borrowed in the first place? And it's obviously for people who need short-term cash, but there are a lot of people who are in poverty who find these places necessary in order to make ends meet. We're going to talk about the whole industry this first hour of our program today and welcome your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. We'll have several guests with us. Carrie Templeton, Executive Assistant at the Department of Financial Institutions for the state of Wisconsin, will be joining us. Professor Steve Miley will be joining us, a clinical professor of law and director of the Consumer Law Litigation Clinic, will also be joining us. Rhonda did try to contact Cashback Payday Loans, and the CEO of Check Into Cash, Alan Jones, referred to the Online Loan Association for comment but received no response. So they will not be with us. They're welcome to if they want to come on the show at some point and talk about it. And there are tons of these. If you go online, there are all kinds of these places where you can just get your cash fast. All right, let's start our conversation with Carrie Templeton, Executive Assistant at the Department of Financial Institutions. Carrie, hello. Thanks so much for being with us. Hello, Carrie. Oh, I'm sorry. We got Carrie on this line. Hi, Carrie. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you. Can you tell me why it is that this industry does not seem to be very regulated in many states? Some states have banned this, but when we're talking 500-600% interest, why are they not regulated very much, I guess, is the question. Seems like a lot of money.
You're right. There are a variety of laws across the states. The states that you mentioned that prohibit payday lending have a usury law, so they have an interest rate cap in place.
I see.
Something that we don't have in Wisconsin. Obviously, we had one in the 70s, but that was removed. Payday lenders in Wisconsin fall under our general licensed lender statutes, so it's nothing specific to that industry.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're seeing a great deal of interest among legislators to do something this session.
This particular session, why do you know why now? I know that there have been attempts every now and then. There's more of a push now, you would say?
There is increasing momentum. Every group and legislator we speak to asks us about payday lending. There are a number of local governments, local municipalities who have put their own ordinances in place, including moratoriums, to prohibit new payday lending locations from being placed in their communities. In addition, the U.S. Department of Defense put a rule in place, is promulgating rules to implement a law signed by President Bush that imposes a number of restrictions to loans for military personnel, including a 36% interest rate cap on most loans extended to members of the military. So people are now making the argument if a 36% interest rate cap is good enough for members of the military, why not everyone else?
Oh, that's interesting. So would this mean then, if you were a member of the military and you went into one of these places, that your loan would be capped at 36%?
Right.
Huh.
It's members of the military, reserves, National Guard, as well as their dependents.
Mm-hmm.
So the rules are being promulgated right now, so it's not in place, but it's gotten everyone on notice that if the federal government is looking at this for members of the military, then why not for everyone else?
Right. Now, from what I've read about this, Carrie, And fill this out for me. It seems as though these started proliferating because banks were moving themselves from central city locations, from locations where poor people met and poor people live. And as a result, these places sprung up because banks were not giving loans to people who didn't have a whole lot of money. So these places did and got them caught in this cycle of debt repayment.
I think that's somewhat true. Short-term loan products like this aren't something that most traditional banks offer.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions are more and more offering short-term loan products at a lower interest rate than payday lenders. But there is some distrust of traditional financial institutions, and payday lenders definitely fill a niche in the market.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a tremendous growth in the industry. In 1996, statewide, there were 64 locations in Wisconsin, and today there are 478.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me. Just in the past 10 years.
Right.
Why?
I think it reflects the need. There's a need for short-term loan products from consumers. You know, you could ask why there is a need, but the need is there.
Mm-hmm. And under Wisconsin lack of regulation, can you charge virtually whatever you want, any kind of interest at all, to repay one of these loans?
Yes. Most lenders charge typically $20 per $100 borrowed, so that's the general rate. But you roll the loan over multiple times, and that effective interest rate can get well over 300% very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And is that what most people do? What percentage of them don't just use this once? They go to several places, or they find themselves in need of cash frequently, so they take out a lot of loans.
Yeah, we don't have statistics on that specifically, but we do hear anecdotally that people are unable to pay off that initial loan, so they roll the loan over or, as you said, take out another loan to pay off the first loan, and they become trapped in a spiral of debt that's very difficult to get out of.
Right. Carrie, do you have any idea why these states that I mentioned a little bit early have eliminated these kinds of payday lending stores and other states have not? I guess the crux of the question is why we haven't in Wisconsin when they did it in Georgia.
Well, there is a very effective payday lending lobby in Wisconsin, so they have been very effective in getting their message out that this type of regulation isn't needed in Wisconsin. But as I said, there is renewed interest, I believe, in the legislature to pass some kind of additional regulation on this particular industry.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your organization, the Department of Financial Institutions. What do you guys do?
We regulate banks and credit unions. We ensure the safety and soundness of traditional financial institutions, but we also license all lenders in the state, including payday lenders.
I see.
And then we also are the corporate filing agent for all businesses in Wisconsin, and we also regulate the securities industry.
Uh-huh. So how do you get a license to open one of these payday stores?
You have to submit an application to our department, and we do an investigation to determine the character and fitness of the people who will be opening the operation. And if they meet those requirements, they are given a license.
Mm-hmm. I think I read somewhere that many of them are partially owned, at least by banks. Is that right?
No, not any longer. There are some federal guidelines put in place that no longer allow banks to do that. But most payday lending locations in Wisconsin, 80% of them are owned by an out-of-state company. So they're not local,
I see.
Small companies for the most part.
And is there any regulation? I've noticed in my neighborhood, we got two of these places within four blocks of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, well, why do we need two of these so close together? Is there any regulation as to how many there can be or how many there can be in a one-mile area?
No, they're not at the state level. As I mentioned, a number of municipalities are taking matters into their own hands and putting some zoning ordinances on the books, including where they can be located, the number of hours they can be open during the day,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
I see. Carrie, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're talking about payday lending, and joining us now is Professor Steve Miley. He's a clinical professor of law and director of the Consumer Litigation Center. He's been interested in clinical legal education and litigation for many years. Graduated from NYU's law school, had a two-year fellowship at Georgetown. He now directs, as I said, the Consumer Law Litigation Clinic at the law school at University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is the lead teacher of the law school's pretrial advocacy course, and he has a very deep interest in comparative approaches to public interest law. He's written extensively on, a number of different issues, legal education in Argentina, in Chile, He wrote a chapter on consumer law in West Wisconsin's practice series, Methods of Practice, and he knows a great deal about state public policy affecting consumers, so obviously state public policy or lack thereof when it comes to payday lending is something that is of concern to him. We got a ton of phone calls as well, so we'll be taking your phone calls on this issue in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Professor Miley, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you.
Why do we have these in Wisconsin and they don't have them in Georgia? So we're supposed to be more progressive than Georgia, aren't we?
Well, we used to be, and it's a very good question. I would echo what Carrie Templeton said about the strength of the payday lending lobby here in Wisconsin as part of the reason. I think the other thing is because, you know, after that usury cap was eliminated, in the 1980s, it used to be 18%. I think it made it more difficult to reimpose an interest rate cap, but I don't think any legislator had in mind a product where the lender could get 500% interest when they eliminated that user cap. So it certainly it seems that there's got to be some kind of a legislative response to this incredibly difficult problem and a problem that is just growing exponentially.
It is an outrageous amount of interest. When I was listening to that story on NPR from New Mexico and they said 500% or 540%, I didn't hear this right, so I had to go to the computer and listen to the story again because I couldn't believe it was that high.
Yeah, it's astounding, and sometimes it's even higher. It depends on what the length of the loan is. The typical payday loan is for a 2-week period, but we've seen instances in the clinic where the loan period is 1 week, which means
Ooh.
That the APR is over 1,000%.
Oh my gosh!
Sometimes payday lenders will do that where they know someone is on a fixed income, let's say a senior citizen, and they know that the Social Security check or some other government check is going to be coming within a week. So they program the loan to be due in 1 week, and that just doubles the APR.
Right. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Carrie had mentioned the rollover phenomenon, which is where the payday loans really get difficult for people when you get into that cycle of debt. And there is data that shows that well over 50% of consumers roll over these loans at least once. And what that means is, and when you roll over a payday loan, you don't get any more money. All you're doing is delaying the repayment of the loan. But the way that you delay it is you have to pay more money. You pay another finance charge. So, for example, let's say you want to borrow $300, which is a fairly typical amount for payday loans. So what you do is you go in, and, of course, they make it easy. They make it quick. And you write a post-dated check for $360. So that's you're paying $60 to borrow $300. Now, you post-date it, because the theory is that you don't have that $360 in your checking account when you write out that check. But in 2 weeks, presumably when you get paid or, you know, something else happens, you're going to suddenly have that $360 in your checking account. But, because most of the people who are taking out payday loans are kind of living on the edge financially, many times they don't have that money in the checking account in 2 weeks. There's a financial emergency, they've got to pay the bills, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they roll it over by paying another $60 to the payday lender.
Oh.
Again, they don't get any more cash. But then this starts the cycle of debt where every 2 weeks they're just paying that finance charge again,
right,
but they're not making a dent in the principal.
Right. Well, the people from the industry, I heard Rhonda on the phone yesterday. She was trying to get a hold of somebody and was tossed all over the country, but eventually we had no response from them. But their idea, what they say here is, well, you know, banks aren't giving these people loans. There's no place for people who don't have much money to get loans now. That if you faulted on a payment on a car or something, that their interest rates would be even more. So we're performing a service.
Right, and that's their typical argument. I mean, one part of it I think is accurate in that the banks and the credit unions have, for the most part, abandoned this segment of the market. And we're seeing some movement by some credit unions to offer short-term loans, small loans, short-term loans at more reasonable interest rates. So there's a bit of a movement there, and you know, there's clearly a market. I mean,
sure.
The exponential growth in these things demonstrates that if more reputable lenders came in and offered products at more reasonable rates, I can't believe they wouldn't be successful.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of performing a service, I mean, they should see some of our clients, the ones who have rolled these loans over multiple times and are now being sued and subject to abusive debt collection practices by these companies. That's not a service.
No. We're going to welcome phone calls. Our guest this part of the show is Professor Steve Miley, who's a clinical professor of law and director of the Consumer Law Litigation Clinic at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we'll take your calls in a moment. We're talking about those payday lending stores. I had no idea that the number of them had gone up so much in the state of Wisconsin in just 10 years from hundreds of them now, but there were just a few of them just 10 years ago. And there are tons of them in poor states that don't regulate these. So what's going on with them? Should they be regulated? Or should they even exist in the state of Wisconsin? Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about payday loans this hour of our program. In case you haven't heard how they are marketed, we do have a sample of one of their commercials. So this is how they draw people in.
What do you do when your cash is low and you need groceries?
You got a cash emergency, you got a money mayday.
Check into cash.
What's check into cash?
It's a remarkable place to get instant emergency cash for flat fee.
Check into cash.
We cash your personal check and then we hold it till you're paid.
Anytime you have an unexpected expense and need a payday advance, check into cash can make it happen.
What do I do? My car's fixed and I don't have enough cash to pay the mechanic.
People from all walks of life have discovered that Check Into Cash offers a simple solution to one of life's most difficult situations.
It's the smart place to get instant emergency cash for a flat fee.
Check Into Cash.
Check Into Cash.
My checking account's low. I can't get what we need.
Go to Check Into Cash.
Check Into Cash. The next time you need quick cash, for whatever reason, go to Check Into Cash. It's quick, easy, and common.
Just a sampling of the way these places are marketed. They all sound so cheery, don't they, Professor Miley? Check Into Cash.
Yes, they certainly do.
And
that's part of the appeal, that it's quick, it's easy, they'll treat you with respect, and it's a problem. I mean, it's almost too easy, and then folks find themselves in that cycle of debt that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, Mark, let's go to phone calls. Mark is our first caller. Hi, Mark.
Yes, I'm Kathleen. I'm very glad that your guest, well, one of the first things he mentioned was the usury laws. That seems to be the solution to this problem. Simply bring them back. What the legislature did when the when the real interest rate for regular loans was at around 18% or higher, they eliminated the usury laws back in the 80s. I think it was 83, 84. What they should have done was to index them to the prime rate and set a ceiling above that so that it floated, so the usury ceiling would float with the prime lending rate, and that really what the original laws were meant to do, but they did an inappropriate fix, and now we have this problem.
Professor Miley.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's right. And as I said earlier, I don't think when they eliminated the usury cap that they had any idea that this kind of a product would emerge, but of course it has, and it's flourished because of the total lack of rate regulation.
Yeah. Is this a state regulation? I was interested in what the president has proposed, and what's happening here. If you're a member of the military, family of military, these loans have to be capped at 36%. Why can't the federal government just say, well, that should apply to everybody at any of these institutions all over the country?
Well, they can, and of course the federal government does act in some ways, on a national level, and we see more and more of what's called federal preemption of state laws. Of course, in many instances, that's bad because the state law that is enacted is actually less protective of consumers than what individual states have done. But here, it's at least for Wisconsin, it would be the obverse because we really have no regulation of payday lenders. So if there was more of a federal response, that would certainly protect us more. But as Carrie Templeton said, there may be a move afoot on the federal level to do this, and we are seeing more interest on the state level.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mark, for the call. Let's go to Lynn from Eau Claire next. Hi, Lynn.
Hello there. I'm so glad you're having a topic on this because I am a total advocate to get them out of business. They are nothing but corrupt. I got stuck in them a while ago, and I was paying almost $2,000 a month just in interest.
Ooh,
it just about destroyed my life, and I would do anything. I would be on any committee there is in the world to get these payday loan places out of business.
What did you need the money for initially, Lynn? Tell us what happened.
Well, I ended up, to be honest, I overspent, and then it was Christmas time, and I wanted to go buy presents, so I went and took out a loan for to buy Christmas presents, and then when it came due, because I had three or four places that I was paying $200 per place in interest every 2 weeks. And I had loans out at six different places because they don't regulate it. You can go from place to place.
Right.
I got behind in Christmas, then I got behind in rent because of that. And, you know, by the time you pay out, you know, $1,000 out of your paycheck just on interest, there's nothing to live on.
Right, exactly.
And so, no, they are totally, they just destroy people's lives, in my opinion.
Mm. Professor Marley.
Yeah, this is a perfect example, actually, of a couple things. One is the holiday reference, because there's always an increase in the number of ads around that time because they exploit people's anxieties about not having presents for their kids, and so you see a real spate in payday lending at that particular time. And the other phenomenon that Lynn mentions that's very common is that people will take out a second or a third payday loan in order to be able to pay back the fees, not even the principal, just the fees of the first one. Mm. So it's a robbing Peter to pay Paul phenomenon. And of course, that is made much more easy and convenient with the proliferation in the same area. So like you said, you know, you've got two near you. I was up in Wausau last weekend. I saw three basically in one street corner. There were three different ones. So that makes it very easy for people
something?
To take out multiple loans.
Yeah. How are you doing, Lynn? How are you doing with it now? Are you caught up?
I will not go near them.
I got you on that. But are you getting caught up?
Oh, yes. I'm totally. I ended up having to file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Because I was so far under.
Right.
And now I get, because I have email, you wouldn't believe how many payday loans I get offered on email.
Oh, I'll bet you do.
And it's like, how can they do this? You don't know where these banks are out of or anything.
Mm.
And if I even hear anybody wanting to go near them, I just stop them in their tracks and tell them, borrow from a family member, do something, but do not go to
And you went under the best of intentions, you know, which is the stories you hear, right? Professor Marley, she wanted to buy Christmas presents. The story I heard, the guy had, you know, had to get surgery for his dog, you know? You shouldn't be in debt forever because of that.
People are not getting frivolous things through payday loans. It's you know, they often feel it's a matter of last resort because they've got bills to pay or, car repair or something like that. But again, they end up in a situation like Lynn, worst case scenario, they're going into bankruptcy. And there's a great cost, obviously, to the individual, but also to society, as a result of these increases in bankruptcy. I mean, that's one of the reasons that they capped it for the military, and the argument that the military made was that it become a security breach, a security risk, rather, to have servicemen and women in difficult debt situations. And, by the same token, if you have multiple civilians who are experiencing this kind of debt burden, it harms not just them, but society in general.
Right. Thanks, Lynn, so much.
I was just going to say, I figured out that I probably spent just in interest over $12,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yes, just in interest.
Lynn.
So thank you for this show. And like I say, if I ever see anything where they need an advocate, I'm there.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Bye. Ron is next from Madison. Hi, Ron.
Kathleen asked why these types of loan outfits exist in Wisconsin. The answer is because the loan sharks and the politicians are in bed together. And in a bad case, they actually live in the same human body. A 4 to 5 years ago, one of the Wisconsin state senators from Milwaukee, who operated a chain of loan shark stores in Milwaukee, preying on his own ethnic group, decided to run for Wisconsin governor. He came to Madison for a candidate forum with two or three other governor candidates. I prepared little leaflets suggesting that he belonged in Bosco Bell Supermax prison because of his loan shark activity. He left the candidate forum early in a huff. The other point I really want to make is that don't restrict yourself to payday loans. Tax anticipation loans sometimes charge 900% interest. Hmm. Also, car title loans.
Hmm.
Can you name anything besides those three that charge outrageous interest rates? Oh, the rent-to-own companies also do that.
Oh.
That's four separate types of loan sharks.
Yes. Professor Miley.
He's right. He's,
yeah.
He's pretty much got them all. In terms of the, you know, places that are just charging, you know, very high interest rate for people who are already in difficult financial situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of those kinds of outfits are proliferating in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for your call. Dave is next from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, and appreciate the program. I believe that these loan sharking operations, and that's essentially what they are, it used to be illegal, are a reflection of the economy and the way that what used to be the middle class is slipping into financial straits. Just as an example, here in Wisconsin Rapids, we have a paper industry. Port Edwards and Coosa had paper industry, and these mills have all been since been sold to out-of-country operations, and they keep cutting jobs. There's been a terrific loss of jobs here in Wisconsin Rapids. And on 8th Street, which is our commercial strip on the south side of town, there are now 8 of these loan sharking operations.
Ooh.
And the only difference between them and Jesse James is that Jesse James carried a gun.
Ooh, Professor Miley.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point about a reflection of the inequities in the economy.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we see the huge pay increases for corporate executives, and the data showing the widening gap between the wealthy and the poor. But mm-hmm. there's a huge number of the working poor who are falling further and further behind. Their wages are stagnant, whereas the cost of living is continuing to increase, and so their margin for error financially is shrinking, and the payday lenders and the other kind of financial institutions that the previous caller mentioned, the auto title loans, et cetera, are you know, filling that gap or exploiting mm-hmm. that shrinking margin for error, so that you know, people who had other options in the past or a little bit more of a cushion, they just don't have that, and so they're turning to these places. And again, that's why, to me, part of the response, if you look at it in a free market sense, ought to be that the more reputable lenders, the credit unions, the banks, step into that breach and offer
yes.
some products that could compete. I mean, one of the arguments that the industry has made is, well, you know, we have to let the market dictate the interest rate, and you know, it'll come down eventually. But this is not a typical market, and all you have to do is look at the interest rates have stayed virtually the same in that decade of tremendous growth among the payday loan industry. And you would think if you had, you know, two or three on the same block or in the same corner, they would be competing with each other to show who, you know, who could, you know, have the lower interest rate. And that just hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of Kerry from the Department of Financial Institutions indicated that there was more interest right now, for whatever reason, in trying to regulate this industry than there has been in the past? There's a push on now. Is there?
I think that's right, and I guess it's for a couple of reasons. I think that the response on the federal level with the cap on the military payday loans or the payday loans to the service, I think that's had quite an impact, and I think people have looked at that and said, "Look, if it's good enough for the folks in uniform, then it ought to be good enough for everybody else."
Right.
And I think that's filtering down to a lot of the states. I just think that there has been more and more attention to the to the ravages of payday loans and more of a, you know, grassroots effort to, for there to be some kind of response. And, you know, there have been attempts in the past on the state level here to do some, you know, to do some kind of more effective regulation, but they have not been successful. But perhaps this time around they will be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave, very much for the call. Let's go next to Carol from Gutenberg, Iowa. Hi, Carol.
Oh, good morning, Kathleen. I'm so mad I could just spit here. You know, this talk about these the caps of 36% to service people on loans. I mean, you know, could you or I survive at taking out a loan at 36%? I mean, it sounds like we're giving them a gift. 36%, I mean, these people would put, anybody who has to take out a loan puts themselves at a disadvantage.
Sure.
And at 36%, I mean, it's absolutely obscene, particularly when these people are doing so much for their country. And I'm a small business person, and if I had to, I have to depend on people coming to my doorstep and giving me their dollars. And when they are put at such a disadvantage, it's criminal. To me, we should be giving loans on a sliding scale, like people who go to counselors or whatever. There's got to be a better answer to this, and I'll take my answer.
Thanks.
Off
Thanks for the call, Carol.
Well, she's got a great point, and I think we have to keep things in perspective. I mean, sometimes, you know, you get so caught up in the huge interest rate, you know, 500 over 500%, that 36 seems low, but then you take a step back and you say, wait a minute, you know, when in what other context do most of us pay, you know, even 26% interest?
Right.
I mean, maybe on credit card interest, but 36 is, you know, is nothing to brag about, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a relative sense, when you're talking about triple digit interest rates, you know, 500 or more percent, obviously 36 is an improvement, but it may not be something to necessarily brag about. You know, the other point I wanted to make is that one of the reasons that the industry frequently gives for why the interest rates are so high is, you know, it's a you know, these are high risk loans, et cetera. But
right.
The data shows that they really aren't, and that the default rate, the charge off rate for payday loans is not much higher than credit card debt, which, you know, for the most part is, you know, in the 18 to 25 range. I mean, obviously different cards have different rates,
mm-hmm.
but nothing like triple digit
right.
interest rate.
Right. Carol, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Robert from Madison. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Robert.
How are you?
Fine, Robert. How are you?
Okay. Now I'm okay. I wanted to fill in a little information for you, perhaps. I was a victim of identity theft involving this one organization that you were alluded to. You couldn't get any response, and that is the lending over the internet.
Uh-huh.
And they deposit money in your bank account.
Yeah.
Well, one morning the mailman brought me a final notice that I owed them some company $625 on a $500 loan for 10 days. Well, I never even heard of the company. Somebody used my name. And the interest rate was
912.5. Oh,
in other words, 25% every 10 days.
Mm.
Well, thanks for our wonderful state consumer affairs Department of Financial Institutions, one of the compliance officers took my case and followed through, and we finally got it cleared, because I had several very harassing phone calls, just terrible treatment. And, of course, I didn't even know what was happening. Somebody used my name.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So that's a thing going over the internet.
Mm-hmm. Professor Miley.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you were able to resolve that. But, you know, the internet payday lending presents a whole other challenge in terms of regulation, because that certainly has proliferated. They get access to people's bank accounts and other personal information. But, you know, regulating that on a state level can be difficult, but that's something that that needs to be addressed as well, perhaps more appropriately on the federal level. But,
there are a lot of those kinds of places.
Oh,
too,
yeah. Well, like you said, you get all these email messages soliciting you for a payday loan,
right,
over the internet.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert, very much for the call. Let's go to Arlene from New Berlin. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning. I'm glad you have this program on. I'm wondering who regulates the rates on these loans. I think they really 18 to 25% is ridiculous. I mean, yes, you need a loan for, you know, maybe buying furniture, buying a house, buying a car. Who decides how high these loans have to are these
All right, let's start with payday loans. Who decides? The people who run the shop?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, again, unless they're in a state that limits the rate, they decide. And how they all pegged the 521% interest, which is what you get when you charge $20 for $100, who knows? But in some boardroom somewhere, you know, wherever, the decision was made, and that seems pretty uniform across the board. So, again, in Wisconsin, we have no limit on that rate.
No limit. Isn't that something? No limit. Do you know anything about some of these other states? Did it take them a long time to outlaw these places? Do you know, Professor Miley, or not?
Well, I certainly know anecdotally in a few states it's been a real battle to enact any kind of limitation on them. But it's, of course, easier if they had a longstanding usury rate. Then as long as that rate applied to payday loans. And there was sometimes an issue about that, and it sometimes ended up in court about because the payday lenders would argue that because of the nature of a payday loan, they would not be subject to that state's usury cap.
Mm.
But I don't think that was a very successful argument in most states. So if Wisconsin had kept its usury ceiling of 18%, we might not even be having this conversation.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
There might be, you know, there would certainly, I think, be fewer payday lenders around. It would not be as successful an industry in Wisconsin as it's turned out to be.
Yeah. More phone calls in a moment. We're looking at the payday loan industry and how it's operating in Wisconsin. Our guest is Professor Steve Miley, clinical professor of law and director of the Consumer Law Litigation Clinic at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The number, one line is open if you'd like to get it, 1-800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Milwaukee area callers, ring us at 227-2050, 227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to phone calls now, and let's go to Tom from Green Bay. Hello, Tom.
Hi. First of all, I think those guys are sleazy also that take that kind of interest. But one thing you're forgetting to look at is the people that got into this predicament in the first place. I mean, I think maybe we need a better education system somewhere down the line, because when my wife and I, we've been married 40-some years, we couldn't afford, like the lady said before, she wanted to buy something for kids for Christmas. Well, there's been Christmases years ago when kids didn't get much and my wife made stuff and everything like that. And you have to take into account that some of these people that are going to these places have maxed out credit cards. They don't accept checks from them anymore. And their financial situation is just totally a disaster. And no one ever teaches them about that $12,000 you're going to be paying in interest over 3 months or whatever. That's the direction I think some people ought to go, not just closing these places up, which would be fine with me.
Uh-huh. Professor Miley.
Yeah, and, you know, there are always going to be, folks out there who are going to try to take advantage of people financially, and in one form or the other. So rate regulation is not going to make financial troubles go away, and he's absolutely right that we need to improve financial education, whether it's in Wisconsin or anywhere else in the country, so people, can make better choices.
Mm-hmm.
When they're faced with financial difficulties. I think a lot of schools are trying to do this. You've got actually some financial institutions, some banks and credit unions that are putting together curriculum that they present in schools and in community centers, et cetera, to kind of make people more aware of these issues. I mean, it's unfortunate that the education system hasn't addressed this issue very much in the past. And, credit cards and other financial products are being marketed to younger and younger people, and they need to have the educational background to be able to make smart choices when they're faced with these very tempting products that can put them into debt at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And so I think certainly an educational component needs to be part of a more holistic response to payday loans and other products that exploit people of limited means.
And then getting back to what we were saying earlier, it's part of this much broader issue, too. I mean, some people just don't know how to handle money, but a lot of people in this country, and we don't pay much attention to them, are living from paycheck to paycheck. And if your dog needs surgery, or if your car breaks down in the cold and you need to have it jump started or whatever, you need a new battery, a lot of people don't have money for that.
Right. That's right. And again, that's why I think there's a huge market out there for more responsible lenders to be successful in providing short-term small loans at much more reasonable rates. But you're absolutely right, Kathleen. I mean, more and more people in that working poor category are living from paycheck to paycheck, or worse. I mean, they're falling behind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And our society hasn't taken that on very well, have we?
No.
Thanks for the call. We go next to Bill from Oshkosh. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Great show. Can you hear me well?
Yes, Bill.
Sure.
No, we can't. Hello, Bill. I'm sorry, Bill's gone. Call us back, Bill. Sorry, let's go to Carl from Madison. Hi, Carl.
Hi. I tried to explain something to your producer, and she sort of cautioned me. It was too windy, so I would like your guest to explain to the audience. I was surprised that businesses can get into this, too. And it's a practice called factoring, and the businesses that offer this is called a factorer, and I didn't think Wisconsin would allow such practices, but what it basically is financing your current business against your future receivables. And a lot of businesses are trapped in this, and maybe your guest could explain this a little bit further and talk about it.
Well, I'm actually not familiar with it. We represent consumers in consumer credit and debt issues. But it certainly sounds like something, again, because of the state of the economy, and you've got a lot of small businesses that are existing on the edge. It doesn't surprise me that this kind of product would be offered, and I suppose has the same hazards for small businesses that it does for individuals in terms of getting trapped in a cycle of debt and then eventually going bankrupt.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Scott is next. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. Yeah, this is a great program. I wanted to start by saying I think these lending places are just insidious. I don't think they should be regulated. I think they should be shut down. I think it just preys off of, poor people that are uneducated, and don't have a concept of handling money. But at the same time, we live in the richest country, in the richest nation, in the richest time in history, and we are a consumer materialistic society. And there are a lot of people that just want more. And we can educate about handling money, but I think the bigger problem is us as a nation thinking that we deserve more. We deserve that new car. We deserve more and more. And I think somebody said, I want to live in a nation where all the poor people are fat, meaning that even the people that are poor in the United States are much better off than most places. We just have a warped view of what success is, I think, in the United States. I think too many people get in over their head because they don't have, it's been preached to them that they should have more. I think we need to start there before anything else.
Well, who's using these places, Professor Miley?
Well, the figures that that DFI put out recently showed that the average income of a borrower is about $18,000. Mm-hmm. Now, the industry will often argue that it's a higher income group and they're reaching more of the middle class. But again, it may be people who have slightly higher incomes, but because of their other debt burdens or whatever their personal situation is, again, they find themselves falling further and further behind. I mean, it's you have to have a bank account and you have to be employed to get one of these payday loans. So it's not targeting the poorest of the poor, and it's targeting an area, an ever growing portion of the middle class, that is the working poor.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that part of the problem is, kind of the Madison Avenue in general, not just the marketing of payday loans, but the notion that, credit is easy and,
right.
You get it today and, don't worry about it tomorrow and, no interest until 2008, and people think, well, maybe 2008 will never come, but it very much appeals. The payday loan certainly appeal to that immediate too. I mean, I think in your ad, the one that you played earlier, the excerpt from that, they said emergency cash or immediate cash. You got to have it now, and that is that's kind of the mentality that has been developed and nurtured through marketing of a variety of products, and certainly payday loans are very much a part of that. I mean,
sure.
You can go down there and get $300 in your pocket in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott, for the call. Leah from Green Bay. Hi.
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 I have an example of something really positive that's happening in Wisconsin to counteract these people. In Appleton, Goodwill of Northeastern Wisconsin has decided to help people avoid getting entangled in that, and they made some arrangements with some local credit unions. And after three rounds of borrowing, people are referred to financial counselors to help them consolidate and get out of the spiral.
Mm.
And I just think it's a beautiful way to start doing this in a responsible act on part of Goodwill to figure this out, that it was necessary.
Yeah, that model and that particular outlet in Appleton is a model not just for Wisconsin but elsewhere in the country. I mean, they're getting inquiries from people all over who are seeing that as an example of a way to offer the small amount short-term loans at a more reasonable rate and to have a tie-in to some kind of financial counseling or, an education component. And it's, it's right on the site of the, the Goodwill outlet.
Great
there
idea,
in Appleton.
Yes.
And, there ought to be more of them. And there
mm-hmm.
is, it's a free market response to a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that those credit unions and Goodwill have taken that initiative.
Yeah. Ted from Marshall is next. Hi, Ted.
Yeah. Hi, Kathleen. I just wanted to call about, I think a lot of people get involved in this because, some of the banks, what happened to me is a bank charged me $1 for, I went to a McDonald's and they charged me an overdraft fee of $29, and then they charged $5 a day after that. And I got, at the end of the month, it built up.
Right.
And, I got involved in a payday loan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, the banks need to be regulated on that. I think it's unfair, to pay what you owe to the bank is one thing, but for them to charge overdraft fees is not good.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the payday loan, if somebody's getting over debt, and $500 or $1,000, then that's when, the government can step in and regulate that. But other than that, I think payday loans do serve, some type of service. But if you, like your guest said, if you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah. Professor Marley.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, they may be providing a service. I think the issue is at what cost,
right,
to the individual consumer, but to society in general. And I think what you're hearing more and more, I mean, certainly on this show, but I think in the legislature and in DFI, is a sense that there are costs for society at large when payday lending is allowed to go completely unregulated.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us. What an informative show, an informed guy you are. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks. Our guest this hour, Professor Steve Miley. He's clinical professor of law and director of the Consumer Law Litigation Clinic at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. We'd also like to thank Carrie Templeton, executive assistant at the Department of Financial Institutions, for being with us. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour.
We're in the money.
To Mimi Notstein for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. This show repeats at 10 o'clock tonight. We'll be with you again tomorrow. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Old man depression, you are through. You done us wrong. We never see a headline about a bread line today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. We're in the money. Come on, my honey. Let's spend it, lend it, send it rolling along.